So anyway, if you don't know me, I'm Thomas. I'm one of the leaders here at Grace Church. So Grace Church is a multi-site church. You're going to hear that a lot this morning. And that means we've got more than just Midhurst. We've got Chichester and we've got Bognor site. And then we're going to start this Havant site next week as well, which is really exciting. We'll do more of that at the end because we just want to celebrate that. And God's done an amazing thing with us. He's given us that on our hearts, that's the DNA of who we are as a church. It's not just about going out and planting, but we believe that God has called us to this multi-site approach. So I've been over in Bognor. I'm now over here in Midhurst. Catherine and I and the family have just moved here as well, so we're going to be here a lot more often. So we're really grateful for all the help we had. We moved this week. So thank you to everyone that has been praying and that has been helping us out with the move as well. We have felt really blessed by the church and by this site especially. And God has been amazingly faithful. So I'm going to talk for about 25 minutes, hopefully, on parenting for amateurs. We're doing this meaningless series, and so we've gone through, we're about week five, I think, now. And we're going to have a testimony during the talk as well on the screen, which we've had every week. And then after that, we're going to have baby dedications. And so we've got a couple of babies we're going to give thanks to God for. We're going to pray with the family. We're going to make some promises together. And then we're going to do a very quick thing on the Havant bit at the end. So all in all, I hope we'll be finished by 11:30, if I can stay on time. So, meaningless series. We've called it meaningless. It comes from the book of Ecclesiastes, where Solomon, who writes it, he says, meaningless, meaningless, everything is meaningless. And he's just looking at everything in life. This guy had it all, and yet he blew it because he gave up on God. And he went after the things of this world, and he just found out by the end of his life that none of the things that he went after, whether it was money or women or having children or whatever it was, none of it meant anything if God wasn't at the center of those things. And so we're doing this series and we're calling it meaningless. Not that parenting is meaningless. It's not that any of these things are meaningless, but actually what we're saying is without God, we lose all the meaning of why we do these things. And so I would like to look at some verses in the Bible. If you'd like a Bible just to follow along, I'll put the verses on the screen. I haven't put the whole passage on the screen. So if you want a Bible, pop your hand up and Vernon will deliver one right to where you are. I think it's good sometimes to just see where it is in the Bible because you can, as someone's sort of talking about things, you can pick up the wider context and stuff as well. So I just encourage you, follow things along. Probably you've got a smartphone app as well. It's always a good way to do it. But it'd be good to do that. So let me start with a story from my own life. As I said, I've got a wife, and we've currently got four daughters, which is fun and a little dramatic at times. But I want to tell you a story that goes back about, I think Ruth and Rebecca, our eldest, were 2 and 3, and we just had a baby, Miriam, and I remember coming home from work, and this happened a few times, and I'm just going to share some of my parenting skills with you. And I come into the house, and it'd be about probably 6:30 in the evening. I've had a nice day at work, you know, and feeling a little tired, but ready to go. And I come in and open the door, and it's just like this sort of explosion. There's this screaming going on upstairs, and babies crying. The other two are fighting with each other, and it's all kicking off. And so I sort of get myself together and go upstairs, and I see Catherine. She's a little red-faced and puffy-eyed, perhaps. And I'm thinking, oh, you know, poor Catherine, I'll come in, let me come in and help here. And so I take the baby off her, and the baby comes to me, stops crying straight away. I think, see, got the skills here. And the other two are fighting there, daddy, they come and give me a cuddle. And I'm like, right, say sorry to each other. And they do that, and they get nice, like, come on, let's get you into bed. And I'm like, Catherine, don't worry, you go and have a cup of tea. Go and have a rest. You've had a hard day. I'll deal with it. I'm in control here. And so I walk in, and I could barely leave the bedroom because of the size of my smug grin. At my parenting skills. But anyway, I thought this is brilliant. I'm such a good parent. And so I thought I'd share that story with you so you know that I'm an expert parent. And so everything I say today is going to be based on it. That's not true, because actually something else then happened. A little while later, I said to Catherine, why don't you go away? Go away and have a day away, you know, treat yourself, go and get pampered, you know, I'll look after the kids because I'm so good at it. And so I did that, and she went out, and I can't remember when exactly it was, but by about 6 o'clock in the evening, explosion in the house. Bombs gone off, babies pooed everywhere, the kids are screaming at each other, dinner's late, they're late to bed and everything else. And I'm just going absolutely mad, and the kids won't do anything I say, they're fighting, they're arguing. Catherine walks in looking all fresh and pampered, comes up the stairs, she's like, don't worry, I'll take them off you. And she comes in, and of course they react, they behave well, she puts them to bed and everything else. And so what I realized in that moment was that actually I'm not quite as good a parent as I thought I was. It just happens that when I walk into a situation, I haven't got all that stress and haven't been dealing with them all day. You know, it's much easier for me to do that. So I say that because really that's why we're calling this Parenting for Amateurs, because none of us are experts in this, are we? We kind of make it up as we go along a lot of the time, and we're dealing with all kinds of other things. It's not just about bringing up the kids. It's also dealing with all the emotions and everything else that's going on. So that's just to give you a little bit of background about the kind of parenting I do, and we'll talk more about that as well. But what we're really going to do today is we're going to learn what God can tell us about parenting when we read his word and when we look in the Bible, and we see what kind of a father God is to us. And I think it'd be good to look at that, so we'll come to more of that. But first, I thought it'd be good to just share this this testimony. So this is from Leah Furbank, who, as it happens, is with us today. I won't point her out, but you'll see her on the screen, and you might see her around later. So she's just going to share a little bit of her story about being a Christian and a parent.
So I'm here with Leah Furbank, who's part of our Pogner site. Leah, tell us a little bit about your family situation right now.
So I'm Leah, I'm married to Jamie, and we've got two children, Abby and Jake, who are 8 and 6. Jamie's a plumber and I'm a midwife, so we both work full time. Family situation is good, but it's busy and fairly kind of fast flowing.
So tell us, we're talking about parenting, how does having children affect your relationship with God?
So I've been a parent without God, and with God, so it's quite different. There's some challenges and some really good, great things in it as well. So sometimes I find it a bit challenging kind of managing my time, and I want to give time to God, but I'm quite busy with the parenting side of it and kind of juggling the children. So I find it quite challenging in giving that time to God sometimes in a family life. Control with the children. So I think it's quite normal for most parents, especially myself, that I want to help my children. If I'm worried about something, I want to be the one that fixes it. And actually God wants me to hand over to him. So God kind of teaches me to hand things over to him and brings me closer to him through that. It just teaches me to trust him more, because the children kind of in the world are the best thing to me in this world, the things that I want the best for. And I also found that parenting really helps me with kind of seeing God's love. So like the love that I have for my children and the things that I want for them and how much I care for them. And then to think that God has that so much bigger as well. So God really encourages me in that, and kind of it blows me away a little bit how big God is, in terms of I can't imagine a love which is bigger for my children, but then to think that God has that so much bigger for me and for my children and for everyone, really. It's a really good teaching kind of stage or phase in my life, which is great.
That's so helpful. Thank you so much for talking to us, Leah. Thank you.
Brilliant. Well done, Leah. You can clap her. Well done. So what we're going to look at is a couple of things. I thought there's some really helpful things that Leah said there as well. So children are a gift from God. That's the first thing I want us to look at. Number two, God instructs parents to teach their children about him. That's one of the commands God gives us as parents, is that we're to teach our children about who he is and what he's like, and also to demonstrate that. And then the third point I want to look at is God uses our children to teach us about him as well. And I'll elaborate a little bit more on that. So number one, children are a gift from God. So turn with me to Psalm 127, if you want to grab that in your Bibles, and we'll just read that together. So Psalm 127, starting in verse 1, says this: "Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain." And so house here can also mean family. So unless the Lord builds the family, the builders labor in vain. "Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves." Now, I love that line, because actually if you're a parent, especially of young children, you might be thinking, well, I haven't been granted a lot of sleep lately. But actually, look at the next line. It says, "Children are a heritage from the Lord." So God's thinking, maybe you're thinking that you're lacking sleep, but let me remind you, children are a heritage from the Lord. offspring, a reward from him. So is it children or heritage? The old definition of heritage is a special or individual possession or an allotted portion. So it's like she's saying here, children are a gift from God, something for us to look after from him. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. Amen to that. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. So this is it. So the first thing you need to know is that children are a gift or a reward from God. Now, sometimes it doesn't feel like that, especially if you have young children. Maybe even if you have older children. I can imagine, yeah, even for perhaps people that are grandparents and you've got older children and they're not walking with God, maybe sometimes it's still just a major headache for you. And yet God still reminds us that he gave us those children as a gift, something precious, something that actually he cares for more than we do. I thought Leah brought that really well, that actually God loves our children more than we do. And so it's really important to get this, isn't it? Is that we're just stewards of our kids. And actually, one day they are going to grow up. One day they are going to make their own decisions. One day they are going to have their own relationship and their own walk with God, we hope and pray. And so as parents, actually, we are to steward them. It's a little bit, I was thinking about it, it's a little bit like finances. It's like God owns everything, doesn't he? And yet he gives us stuff. He gives us money and he gives us wealth and things. But he asks us to steward it well, to use it for his kingdom, to use it to bring glory to him. And actually, we're not to sort of hang on to it and keep hold of it too tightly. But actually, we're to use it to bless others and things like that. And I think with children, it's the same thing, is that we're given children. Actually, they are image bearers of God. In their own right, they are entitled to their own relationship with God because he made them. And yet he gives them to us to bless us, but also for us to bless them and to teach them about who God is and what God is like. And so I think we live in a world now where children are seen as a bit of a possession that I own. You know, they're my kids, I'll do what I want with them and everything else. Actually, no, our children are God's children ultimately. And I think one day, a little bit of conjecture, but one day when we're going to be in eternity, I kind of imagine our kids are going to be a little bit more like brothers and sisters to us than children and parents, because we're going to have parents, grandparents, great-great-great-grandparents and all of that. I kind of feel like we'll be more like brothers and sisters, all in relationship with Jesus, a bit like we are in the church here. I think we'll relate to each other a bit more. I don't know, it's conjecture, but I was just sort of mulling these things over as I prepared this. And so the first thing to know is that actually they're entrusted to us, that God loves them more than we ever could. And the wonderful thing about understanding this is that actually it frees our hands a little bit, because we can be so protective, we can be so concerned. And again, even perhaps if you're older and you've got grown-up children, maybe they're not walking with God, you can be so worried about what they're doing with their lives, and you can be so fearful about that. And I feel like God just wants us to say, actually, do you know what? I love them more than you do. I still love them more than you do, even now they're grown-ups and they're not walking with me. And so I just feel there's a sense of release that God wants to bring this morning to say, actually, it's okay. You can make mistakes. You can get things wrong. You can just try your best. Keep going. But actually, ultimately, they're my children. I'm going to protect them. I'm going to look after them. I'm going to shape their lives. I'm the one who's going to save them. You can't save your children. And so as stewards of God, we are there to... we'll keep working on this sound. Is the handheld better? I can go on to that. Do you want me to do that? Sorry, let's do that.
Let's try that. How's that? That's better. So we're stewards, aren't we, of our children. So we hold them lightly. We care for them deeply. We look after them. We love them. But ultimately, we need to know, we need to be released to know that they're actually God's. They're God's children, and that we're there to look after them, do the best for them, and to teach them about him, and to show that he's the one in control, not us. And so that's something that we can learn from that. And so my second point is that God instructs parents to teach their children about him. We can go on to that. Oh, technology, don't you love it? You're right to click, Louise, if I go on. So point two. So Deuteronomy 6 says this. You don't need to tell it, but hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. And then verse 7 says this, impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. And so the main role of a parent is to teach children about God, as I've said, to demonstrate what he's like by the way we live our own lives and also by how we bring our children up. You see, the Bible doesn't give us clear instructions about many of the day-to-day choices we make as parents. Rather, it leaves us to our own knowledge and wisdom and also the wisdom that we seek from others. It's like God doesn't define absolutely everything for us. He gives us parameters and guidelines and things like that, but sometimes you just feel like you're making up, don't you? I don't know if you get this as a parent. You're like, what do I do with this child? Now, I don't know about you, when I became a parent, I found it really hard to get advice from anywhere. That's a joke. I'm kidding. You see, everyone is an expert, aren't they? I don't know if you found that. You get married, don't you? And everyone tells you about marriage and everything else. And then you get pregnant and everyone's like, let me tell you about what it's going to be like and everything else. And there's so much advice out there. And some of it, of course, is really helpful, isn't it? Some of it's really good, but it can be quite overwhelming, the bombardment of what you must do, what you mustn't do. How do you do this? And how do you do that? And how do you look after the child? And the effect of this is everyone actually can end up feeling like a bit of a failure. Because somebody somewhere will be judging you for how you're bringing up your children. Somebody somewhere will be pointing out that actually, no, you shouldn't be doing it like that. Oh, okay, I'll do it like this. And they say, oh, no, you shouldn't be doing it like that. You need to do it like this. And you can end up flitting and fleeing between and worrying too much. And you just feel like you're getting it all wrong. Well, actually, the Bible's clear that the task of bringing up a child is down to the parents first and foremost. That's our job. That's what he's given us to do. It's not the job of the school or the government or our friends and colleagues. It's down to us to bring up our kids according to our own understanding of who God is and our conscience. And of course, we can get advice. But actually, sometimes that can put so much pressure on us. I've actually seen breakdowns in relationships, even in the church, just because someone wanted to impose their method of parenting onto other parents. And I think there's something really key in this that maybe today more than ever, there's just such a pressure, isn't there, to get things right. And so with social media and all of that, the pressure that comes from that, and it's like you can be named and shamed if you make a mistake. I mean, let me give you a few examples. Now, these might stir some emotions in people, so brace yourself. But these are some of the things that I've found that we got sort of told what we were to do and what we weren't to do. Nappies, reusable or disposables? Which one is it? Feeding, breast or bottle? Sleeping, crying, or no crying. Never let them cry. Discipline, do you smack them? Do you not smack them? Do you have a naughty step? Do you not have a naughty step? Solids, not before 6 months, or maybe only after 6 months. Sleeping babies, do you put them on your back or on your front? Education, the best school for the child, or the best school for the family? Books and TV, Harry Potter? No Harry Potter. I'm not saying where I stand on this. You know, it's like, how many kids do you have? If you've got too many kids, that's too many. The world's full up already. Stop having children. Or you haven't got enough children. We need more children because the world's not going to have enough people to pay the pensions when we're all old. It's like, what do you do? It's a bit of a minefield, isn't it? Have you picked up some of this stuff? Maybe if you're a younger parent today, you kind of feel this pressure, isn't it? And you have well-meaning family and relatives and parents who will say, well, this is how we did it in our day and there was never any problem. And then you have people today saying, don't listen to your parents. And you get the health workers will say, don't listen to what they say. They don't know what they're talking about. We've proven this and da-da-da. And it's just so confusing. It goes on and on and on. Now, I'm not telling you what I think about any of these things. And you know, we have our views and we do what we think is best. But I know even in mentioning it, it can actually stir emotions because people can think, how can you even suggest that the other point of view could have any moral ground whatsoever? It's like you're teaching people to destroy their children. Let's just take a moment and breathe. Let's relax. Let's think what's more important here. You see, the Bible teaches us to bring up our children to know God, to teach them about him and to discipline them or disciple them in the instruction of the Lord. It doesn't talk about all the little details and things like that. Paul says in the book of Ephesians 4, verse 6, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. See, it doesn't tell us we're terrible parents if we choose to bottle feed. It leaves us to make those decisions for ourselves. Taking in all the information, we do what we think is best for our families, and we do it with a clear conscience, and we do try and find out what's good and what's not good and all that. But the Bible's clear, however, particularly in Romans 14. If you read the chapter Romans 14, that we are not to impose our views on others, but we allow people to act in line with their own conscience and faith. And that's what's important because it keeps unity. It's more important that we encourage one another. It's such a massively difficult task, isn't it, to bring up kids. And you go through all the emotions and the stresses and the strains. Sometimes you're just trying to get through the next day or the next night. And And people come in and impose, oh, you should be doing it like this, you should be doing it like that. But actually, we're called not to judge one another, but we're called to have unity and to love one another. It doesn't matter how strong your argument and reasoning might be. To so many parents, I think what we need is just a word of encouragement. We need to be the church. I think it takes a whole church, doesn't it, to bring up a family well. And we're going to do that a bit later. We're going to dedicate the babies and we're going to commit to pray for these families and to love one another. And I think as parents nowadays, I think we just got to encourage people. We've got to tell them they're doing a good job. We've got to support them where we can, look for the needs and see what we can do to help. And I think the Bible's much stronger on us doing that than it is on the methods and how we do it. We even had it this weekend, actually. Some well-meaning people that we know, not here, not in the church, but some friends of ours decided to start telling us that Catherine shouldn't be doing certain cleaning jobs in the house because she's pregnant and we've just moved. She shouldn't be doing that. You should get Thomas to do it. That's what you need to do. Now, it wasn't a suggestion. Now, actually, what they were saying was quite good and helpful, and they genuinely love us, and they were trying to help us with it. But actually, they put forward their suggestion in such a strong way that for us not to do what they said is actually going to cause a relational breakdown, because it's going to be obvious that we didn't listen to what they said. And it's like, that actually didn't bless us this weekend. We had a really tough week, just moving and everything else. But they were more interested in, you must do this because I know this is going to kill your baby kind of thing. And it wasn't quite as strong as that, but it kind of felt like that. We just wanted to get on with it and move in the house. But anyway, those are the kinds of things that we put up with and have to do through. So my encouragement for us as a church is to find ways to build each other up, find ways to serve one another, especially those of us with children. You know, sometimes we just need to keep going, don't we? We need someone to come and pray for us, someone to come and just offer us a little bit of help and advice and wisdom when we ask for it, when we're ready to receive it. But when it's not wanted, when it causes disagreement, let's learn to move on. Let's learn to love one another. Let's be more concerned about the relationship than maybe winning the argument and getting our point across. And I think that would be so much more helpful, because then it keeps you in the relationship to then be able to help and influence and encourage and stuff. If you're willing to lose a relationship because someone won't agree with your method of parenting, it's a shame, because that relationship will break down. And we've had that. We've lost relationships because of the way we've parented. So I just thought that was something worth drawing out, because I just feel there's such a pressure there for us today. So anyway, our main role in the family, as I say, is of the family of God, is to teach our children about God, about who he is and about how much he loves us. And the best way we can do that is actually to demonstrate God's love to our children and to one another in our own relationship with each other, in our own relationships with God. It's much more important what you do at home, perhaps in private, and how your own walk with God is, than what you come and say on a Sunday. Maybe you bring your kids along to church and then you spend the rest of the week not even giving God a second thought. You know, we read that verse in it, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. It's like, who's building your house? Is it God? Are you putting him at the center of everything you do? Are you making your decisions in line with what he would want for you? Or are you saying, no, this is what I want, these are my dreams, these are my desires, and I'm just going to drag the family along with it? Now, your children will catch that, and they'll think, okay, so that's what's important, is that we go after our desires and dreams, and then we do God on Sundays, or whatever it is. I think it's so important, isn't it, for us to put God first. And that begins with our own walk with God, how we spend time with God. Do we read our Bibles? Do we pray? Do we put him at the center of our decisions? And then also in our relationships, maybe if you're married, perhaps how you relate to your spouse. You know, children will see this. Grandchildren will see this. They'll see how you're working these things through. In fact, the best way you can bless your children is to be an excellent husband or an excellent wife. It's so important, isn't it, to be with each other on this. You can't be a good parent without being a good spouse. I just don't believe that's possible. Maybe if you're a single parent, then that's different. And, that can be a whole different challenge as well. And I believe God is so amazing in that situation. If that's what you're going through, if you're bringing kids up on your own, then I've seen this with my own family. My mum brought us up largely on her own, and I saw the way that God was able to kind of get alongside her and gave her so much grace and gave her so much help. And the church really supported her as well. So I think church as well, we've got single mums here. We really need to be blessing them. We need to be supporting them. We need to be helping them raise their kids in an appropriate way and getting alongside them and praying for them. Especially on Mother's Day. Come on, let's bless our single mums on Mother's Day and just give them a word of encouragement, and let's remember them as well. So anyway, it's meaningless to bring your children up with all the values of the world. Okay, and you can tell your children about God, take them to church, but actually if you don't live that out, if you don't model it, then they're not going to know it for themselves. So number three, God uses our children to teach us about him. And so my final point is this, that we can all learn more about God through our relationship with our children, because God calls us to bring our children up with the same character and love that he wants to show us. So what I want to do is finish by looking at four attributes of God and how they're instinctively there in every one of us, actually. See, we're made in God's image. The Bible says that God made us humans in his image, and within that he puts in us something of him. And so these attributes, actually, we kind of have an awareness of them ourselves, and they come out quite a lot when we become parents. First one is this, God's unconditional love. As parents, we discover the power of unconditional love when we have our own children. I remember when we had Ruth, our eldest, and I was just kind of given this tiny little baby, and she was just so vulnerable, and Catherine had had some difficulties and things in the pregnancy, so she went off and had some surgery, and I was just left in this room with this tiny child, and I was like, I don't know what to do with this child. Like, what if she stops breathing? What if she just, like, dies? It's like, I don't know what to do with it. I felt such a strong emotion to protect her. I remember driving home from the hospital, we sort of put her in the car seat really carefully. I was doing sort of 20 miles an hour and a 60, and everyone's bibbing and everything. I'm like, I've got a baby on board. It's like, don't you know? It's like, I just wanted to protect her so much. It's like, now we're on number four, you just kind of get the kid, chuck it in, and drive home. But not that I love them any less, I've just realized that babies are a lot more resilient than what I thought they were when I had the first one. And but actually, we love them so much. It's so instinct. They're a part of us, aren't they? We've been part of that creation. And so that unconditional love is there. And actually, it's there with God, isn't it? See, that instinct we have that God loves us so much more than that. Like, whatever you've felt, if you're a parent, whatever you felt for your child, God's love for you and for your child is so much more powerful than that. I think John 3:16 is just a great verse for this. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. You know, God's love was so great, so amazing, that he gave up the most precious thing that he had for his children, for you and for me. That when we put our faith in Jesus, we receive everything that Jesus has with the Father. And so that unconditional love we feel for our children actually can teach us. God feels more of that for us. I think this is helpful. If you maybe haven't had, maybe your parents weren't quite as loving as they should have been. Maybe you had just a really tough time growing up. It can be really hard to understand God's love, because all of your perspectives of your parents, whose duty it was to teach you about who God is and what he's like, if they, and in some ways we all fail in this, don't we, as parents, because we're not perfect, we're sinful, we mess it up. But some of us had a really tough time, and it can be really hard then to relate to God, maybe as a father. That can be a real challenging thing if your father wasn't around. And you think, well, is God not around? Is he absent? But actually, when you have children and you start to feel these things for yourself and the emotions that you have for your own children and that, I found that actually that's taught me more about God as a father than maybe my own father did. And he had a hard time, his father, and that. But I think God actually can use us as parents and teach us through our relationship with our children what he's like. But even more so, the things that we want to do for our kids, he wants to do for us. But even more so, in an even better way. So we can learn from that. So number two is God's justice. See, as well as loving our children unconditionally, we also have a sense of justice. And this starts to show, doesn't it? The kids start to get to about a year old. You start to see a bit of rebellion coming out. You've seen that one. And you start seeing that actually there's a little bit of naughtiness in there, isn't there? And that's because we've got a sinful nature. It's because our children are born into this world with the same sinful nature that we've all got. Comes from original sin. And you can argue about that and so the fairness of it and everything else, but the reality is it doesn't matter who that child is. I've never seen a child yet who is born without sin except for Jesus. And so what happens is here is that we feel this sense of justice. Now, whatever your position on discipline, however you do it, I think we all agree that discipline is a good thing. The children with absolutely no discipline are not the most loved, they're the least loved. And so God, in his loving kindness, his unconditional love for us, is also a God who disciplines us. He disciplines us because he loves us. He gives us boundaries, doesn't he? He uses it to protect us, to shape us. And so when God's bringing a little bit of discipline, it's to bring us back into line because he knows what's best for us. And so we do that as parents with our children, don't we? So if my kids want to run out into the road, which they do, I say, no, I need to stop this and you're going to have to hold my hand. Because at the moment, you're not mature enough to make this decision for yourself. So I bring some discipline and say, we're going to do it like this. And as we do it like this, I'm going to teach you so you can get to a point where you can cross the road yourself because you understand everything that's involved. Now, I think God does the same thing with us. Sometimes I think we want to run straight out into the middle of a busy road. It's just in our nature. I don't mean that literally or maybe, but metaphorically speaking, some of the choices we make in life, it's a bit like that. And it's like, we're going to get hurt if we carry on this path. But God is a good father. He says, no, I'm going to stop that. I'm going to bring something into your life that's going to stop you making this decision, or I'm going to take something away for this time because I want to take you through some discipline because I want to show you how you can use this thing better. So maybe you're going through that at the moment. Maybe you're going through a tough time. You think, what on earth is all this about? Maybe it's God just gently just bringing some discipline. Discipline is not a bad thing. I kind of live in a culture where they think it is, but actually it's not. Discipline is love. It's how we love our kids. I wouldn't love my kids if I didn't discipline them. And God is exactly the same. And so actually discipline and discipling is the same sort of word, isn't it? Is we just sometimes need a little bit of correction where God wants to do something better with us, where God wants to mature us and grow us. And so sometimes he brings that bit of discipline in the same way we do as parents. And so I hope that sort of analogy helps you. Maybe you're going through a little bit of a time and you feel like, yeah, do you know what? I feel a little bit like I'm being disciplined or discipled by God at the moment. It's a tough time. But actually, that's a good thing. It's worth persevering through. It's worth saying, okay, God, I want to learn from this. Help me walk in the way that you want me to walk. You know, boundaries, they're a form of discipline, aren't they? Yeah, we live in a world where people say, I just want to be free. I couldn't do all of that Christian stuff. There's too many rules, too many boundaries. It's like, I want freedom. Just take away all the boundaries. But actually, if you take away all the boundaries, you end up with just a disaster because nobody knows what to do, do they? It's like Nicky Gumbel used to use this analogy in Alpha. It was like the football match. And it's like you could have the goalposts and the sidelines and the flags and the referee and the linesman. And the kids have a brilliant game of football. If you take all that away, which happened once to him, actually the kids just, no one knows who scored. No one knows what the result is. No one knows where the edge of the park is. And so actually we need a life with boundaries because it's the boundaries that protect us. It's the boundaries that teach us what is best for us and how to walk through this life. So, in the Bible, we see God's justice in two places. You see, first, he disciplines those he loves, as I've said. But actually, more than that, his ultimate justice is found at the cross. You know, we're going to be celebrating Easter when Jesus went to the cross and died. He was punished for all of our sin. See, might we have to discipline our children when they're wrong and when they get it wrong? Actually, God says that all sin is needing to be punished by death. All sin is deadly. Like running into that main road is deadly. All of our sin is deadly before a holy God. And so God says, actually, I need to find a way to still punish this sin and be just, but make a way for the relationship to continue. And so he sends Jesus to go to the cross for us. And so he's still able to be just, to bring his punishment on his own son. And so that as we repent, as we put our faith in Jesus and recognize that we were part of that we did that to Jesus, actually that we can then inherit that relationship with our Father in heaven. That's the wonderful news of Christianity, is that actually, although we live in a dark world, the light has come, Jesus has come, and he comes to rescue us. And I just think in being a parent and going through that process of disciplining our children, you learn so much more about God's love and discipline for us. See, Proverbs 14, verse 26 says, in the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children will have a refuge. I think that's really helpful, isn't it? It's the fear of the Lord. It's not that we're scared of God. It's this kind of holy fear that God is God. He's awesome. He's above everything. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. He's almighty. And yet he loves us intimately and closely, knows everything about us. And there's this sense of whenever anyone comes into the presence of God in the Bible, they fall to their face, because there's this sense of fear, isn't it? And so we bring our children up in that, knowing that there is a God, that he is in control. And actually, as Proverbs says here, actually children will have a refuge in this. it's a real comfort for children to know that God is there. It's a comfort for us to know that God is in control, that he's sovereign. See, when we bring our children up to fear God in the right way and be obedient to what he teaches us, the Bible provides them with both confidence and a refuge, a place of protection. God's justice is the same for us. It brings that confidence that he loves us and he hates the things that would hurt us. And it also makes us feel safe that there are boundaries and therefore there is right and wrong, that there's truth and there's lies. And we live in this crazy world, don't we, where truth is kind of this subjective thing now. No such thing as truth is there. No such thing as absolute truth. Actually, the world is falling apart under the weight of this stupid idea. Of course there's truth. Of course there's right and wrong. Of course there are morals. And they all come from God. And if you take away that rock, that foundation, that refuge, actually what it does is it leaves people feeling really insecure. The devastating effect of this is that in our Western world, where truth has been just undermined and diminished, people have never been more anxious in any time in history. It's like everyone is so insecure. Everyone is suffering with anxiety. And it comes into the church as well. And maybe you're going through that. And sometimes we need to just get ourselves back to the truth. And say, actually, no, I know God is real. I know God is with me. I know God is a Father who loves me. And we need to find that truth. We find it in the Bible, don't we? Read the Word of God. There is power in the Word of God. It's powerful and effective. And so perhaps if you're struggling with those sorts of things, you just encourage you, get into the Word of God. Write down some verses that encourage you when you're struggling with anxiety and things like that. It's very normal to struggle with anxiety. I mean, it's all throughout the Bible. Everyone goes through it. I've gone through it a lot. But actually, God is so much bigger than that. And he can take you through that. And of course, the world does not have that option. So God's justice and laws bring stability and safety. Jesus came to fulfill the law. And when we put our trust in him, we find ourselves on solid ground. He fulfilled the law. He fulfilled the justice, the wrath of God. It's all met in Jesus. It's in the person of Jesus that we find our hope. So finally, number three, God's faithfulness. God is also faithful. 2 Timothy 2:13 says this, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. And Deuteronomy 31 verse 6 says this, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. See, as parents, we need to remain faithful to our children. And we do, don't we? Even when they don't like us. You ever had that? Your kid turn around and say, oh, I hate you. You know, I don't like you. And Ruth gives us little notes telling us how angry she is with us. And it's a new thing now she can write. And it's like, you know, they feel this sort of hate towards you because you've brought some discipline or you've told them they can't have something they don't want. And actually, we remain faithful, don't we, as parents? We get beyond that. And, you go through phases and they turn around and say things like, oh, I don't like God, I hate God, or I don't, you know, things to upset you. And you have to work through that, don't you? Go, no, I need to be faithful as a parent here and realize they're just trying to provoke me. And I think, again, it's good to see that because actually with God, we do that as well. Sometimes we just say, oh, you know, forget you, God. I'm going to do it my own way. But actually, he remains faithful. We put our trust in Jesus. And so, as a parent, my heart is always that my children will turn back to me. And sometimes I sort of long for them to do this. I just sort of have to remain firm in my discipline. But I'm always ready to forgive, always ready to be there for them. I mean, I'm always ready to protect them, even when they're mad at me. You know, when your kids are going absolutely nuts, you still want to protect them and look after them. You don't want to throw them under the bus, or at least you don't throw them under the bus. Because deep down, you want to protect them. You want to remain faithful. And so God is like that with us. He's always the prodigal father. You know the story of the prodigal son who just leaves his father and says, I'm just going to take everything you have, but I don't want you. And I think our children will do that to us as well. But actually, as parents, we want to remain faithful. We want to keep praying for them. We want to keep encouraging them to come back to the Lord. We remain open all the time because that's how God is with us. You're never far away from God, too far away from God that you can never come back. That's why Jesus told us the story of the prodigal son, was to say, actually, no, there's nothing you can do that will offend me so much that you could never come back into my presence. We come back with repentance, don't we? We come back and we say, do you know what? I am sorry. God, I value my relationship with you more than whatever that thing was I was chasing after. Because all those things will be meaningless. All those things will let us down, won't they, in the end. And God actually allows that to happen sometimes so that we can turn and repent and come back to him. So I encourage you this morning, I don't know where you're at with that, but if anyone's just feeling a bit far from God, wherever you're at, whatever the thing is that has brought that distance in, whether there's some sin in your life or a challenge going on and you just feel far away, I just feel God is saying, no, I'm here. I'm the Father with the open arms. I'm not going to beat you over the head with what you did. I just want you to come back. I just want the relationship again. I want to put that ring on your finger, put that coat around you, put the sandals on and have a meal and celebrate that my son was lost, but now he's alive and back with me. So I encourage you, come back to God. He's always faithful. He's always there. And finally, God's grace. Being a good parent is about showing grace to our children and showing it and teach them what it means. Yeah, grace is such an amazing part of who we are as Christians. It's the most important part. Ephesians 2 verse 8 says this, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. You see, as a parent, I need to show my children grace every day. If I didn't, there just wouldn't be a relationship. I need to be the one giving grace to my children. And I think we need to continue to do that because, again, God is always giving his grace to us. See, if they're consistently disobedient, doing the same thing over again, I just find myself, I sound like my mum. You know, it's like, if you do that one more time, right, that's it. You're never doing this again. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, half, quarter. You're just willing them to just come and do it. Come back into the relationship. Now, I know empty threats are bad and I'm a bad parent and I'm trying my best. But actually what my heart's saying is, please just do what I ask. I just want you to be obedient. I just want you to have the relationship with me. If my children are good all the time and do what I say, I will just bless them over and over again. I love to spoil my kids, but I don't want them to be spoiled. I think it's good to spoil your kids. I think God loves to spoil us, but he doesn't want us to be spoiled. There's a difference. So it's great to be able to bless your children and do that. And I'd bless my children all the time and give them all the things that they want if they behave in a way that is mature and consistent and godly and all of that. But of course they don't, so we have to take things away. See, it's like God says to us, isn't it? And we say it to our children, you know, I'll take anything you cost me upon myself for the sake of this relationship. I'll stay up all night with you, or all night waiting for you, maybe. I'll make sacrifices that you'll never know about and overlook things that you never even knew were wrong. And I'll pay the consequences for them for myself. I'll give you everything I can and more. And all I want in return is for you to be with me. You know, I can kind of feel myself saying this to my children, and I can hear God saying this to me. I want you to delight in me, and I want to be able to delight in you. I want for us to have a good relationship full of fun and laughter and love and tears. This is what our Father in heaven is saying to us, and it's what we'd want to say to our own children. Except for our own sinfulness, sometimes we don't. But this is God's grace offered to us freely because he sent his son Jesus to die in our place, so that we could become his children, children of God. This is such an important thing, isn't it, to know that this gift of grace is free, that anyone can have it, that we offer it to the world because God's given it to us. We give it to our children because we've received it from God. If you don't know God's grace, you're never going to be able to pass that on. And God's grace was to take our sin upon himself in our place and in exchange give us his righteousness, his goodness, Jesus' relationship with his Father. We get that because of what Jesus did for us. And I think as parents, we long to show that, and we don't always get it right, but we can see glimmers of what God has done for us within that as we do it. So maybe you're not a Christian this morning. I don't know you all here, so perhaps you haven't actually made that step of faith. And I just want to encourage you that the door is open for you anytime to come and say, actually, Jesus, I want to know you. I want a relationship with my Father in heaven. I want to say sorry for my sin, for the things I've done that's wrong. And that option is always there. The door is always open for you till the day you die. So what I'd like us to do is just to pray, and we're just going to respond with a little time of worship. While we do that, if you've got children, it'd be great. We're going to bring all the kids back in, actually, while we do the baby dedications. I thought it'd be good to do that because some of the workers are doing that as well. So if you've got kids, go and grab them now. These guys are just going to play a song here. And we'll make some space for some prayer at the end, and we'll do that. But let me just pray for us as people go and do that. So, Father, I just thank you that you're a God who reveals yourself as Father to us. Lord, you're a good, good Father. And I'll thank you for Jesus, for the price he paid. And Lord, I pray for us all here this morning. Lord, help us to be better parents. Help us to demonstrate more of your grace, more of your justice, more of your unconditional love. Lord, more of your faithfulness. Lord, make us like you, Jesus. Pray, send your spirit now to be upon us, Lord. Help us where we're hurting. Heal us where we've got pain. Lord, build your church up, Lord. Help us as a church to care for one another, to look out for the parents that need a word of encouragement. Lord, to not bring judgment, but to bring love, to bring help. And most of all, Lord, help us to become more like you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.